Welcome, everybody, to episode 329 on a Friday the 13th of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the mysterious Mug himself. How are you guys doing today?
I am deeply disappointed by your choice of music. Harry Manfredini would be ashamed.
Oh, get out of here.
You know who Harry Manfredini is?
I know who Harry Manfredini is. He's the originator of the music.
Yeah, they.
I know, that's the one you should have played.
Look, yes, exactly.
That's the one I pointed at you. Look, this is a Harry Manfredini song.
Manfredini.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying. And it was in there, but I'm not going to sit there and wait for 2 minutes.
It's not iconic, though.
Oh, get out of here.
Come on. I mean, have to admit.
The reason we did is because we've already used the old one.
That's ever stopped him before.
No.
Yeah, get out of here. Look, if you want some of that, here we go.
I always liked Freddy's theme. I always thought that was like a little creepy.
Remember the Fresh Prince, the Nightmare on My Street thing?
I love that song.
Yeah,
I remember. The body, but I've got the brain.
There.
Thank you.
Happy? Jesus. God.
I'm never happy.
Anyways, Eric, let's get this news done. We got too much news to go through. Let's go.
All right.
What up, G? Says Dungeon Buster to Gripper, who came in the chat.
That's me. That's not Dungeon Buster. That's Dungeon Buster.
You're impersonating. Oh, I get it.
I'm Dungeon Buster after he's just fed up with everything.
I get it.
What up, Gripper?
What up, Chess?
Dungeon Buster and Dung in Buster.
Did you call him Dung Buster?
No, I have to do that just
okay,
to
I'm gonna change my name back. It was just a quick joke.
Alright, Dungeon Buster is in there. Looks like Gripper's in there, and all of us are of course in there. Shadow's in there, but Shadow's always in there. Alright guys, let's get started with the news, Eric. Let's start with you.
And then Dungeon Buster starts talking again. He's no longer protesting.
I know. Hey, before every news story, I'm going to do this, guys. Come on. All right. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. From Silicon Era, we have Untold Stories in Honor and Take of the NES RPG. Joshua Telmblett is making his own turn-based RPG. Not only that, but he reckons it mixes modern gameplay and storytelling with the graphical style of the games, or the NES games. But
damn, that really does look like NES.
It looks worse than NES.
And he says he's working on it by itself, and he's using the limitations of the NES so he could faithfully recreate what a game would look like from that era.
Like Flickr and everything?
And I guess I'm serious.
I mean,
Flickr, slowdown. Yeah, there's a lot of problems with NES that people forget about.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the thing about like with Shovel Knight when they were like,
he's probably going to optimize it so that it doesn't, but he's going to do it within those constrictions.
That was the thing. Like one of the reviews of Shovel Knight described it as like being what you remember NES games looking like.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's true because it's basically exactly the style, but a little more vivid, no slowdown and no flicker.
You know, that was part of the charm of of the NES, though.
To a point.
I hope you don't have to hold down the reset button when you're turning off the console or you'll lose your save data.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But flicker was a lot of fun when you're Mega Man and get hit and you're falling off the edge of a cliff because you can't control the game because it's flickering. Just saying.
Not a fan of the font he's using, but I mean the look is very authentic.
Yeah, it does. That's what I mean. It looks like an NES game.
It's still in the early stages, though. So
yeah, I mean.
It reminds me of the original Final Fantasy. Just at first glance.
The style of it's very
sprites here are a lot bigger though.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next. Moria.
Yeah. Yume RPG Toolkit lets you create 3D JRPGs without programming skills, and perhaps even more importantly, without writing skills.
Oh, so I could make a game. Nice!
If you've ever thought about or tried to create your own Japanese-style RPG, then you'll probably be familiar with how difficult doing that can be. But one guy's project is to ensure that creating 3D JRPGs... Oh, 3D JRPGs is a lot easier. It's called Yume, meaning dream, RPG Toolkit. The idea is that mostly anyone should be able to create their own game with Yume RPG Toolkit, as you don't need any programming skills for it. It works with the Acnex 3D engine and is basically a template over the top of it that simplifies everything. Coding is done by clicking on event commands contained in a series of boxes, so you don't type anything in yourself. You only select and reorder. That said, if you want to, you can look at the raw code if you want to try to get familiar with it and eventually learn how it all works. Creating characters, skills, enemies, NPCs, shops, and battle events is all done through a database. You simply select what you want to create and then enter all of its information into the boxes. Yeah. Then there's a map editor that lets you drag and drop assets into a 3D space to create your worlds. You can tweak colors, add weather effects, and even add your own 3D models if you've made some. Unfortunately, Yume RPG Toolkit isn't finished yet, but most of the features are already in and working at this point. The video at the top is an intro made entirely with the toolkit, so perhaps by the end of the year, you'll be starting out on making your own 3D JRPG with it. That sounds actually pretty promising.
Yeah, I like this idea quite a bit. And obviously, like the PC modders will probably have their own versions, which will be just as fantastic with extra stuff.
Well, the thing that kind of appeals to me about it is that you have you have low level, like, you know, extremely, I guess, GUI oriented, user friendly access to stuff. But if you want to get into the nitty gritty and do some more complicated stuff, it gives you that option. That's nice.
Does it give you the option to be the villain?
That depends on the story that you write.
I'm sure I could do something, but I just mean, like, it will allow you to do like villainy type stuff. Yeah. Like, if you say one to kill townspeople and stuff like that, would you be allowed sell people into slavery or something?
I would imagine so. I mean, if you can script events and make characters move around and everything, hell, if you can use a basic. Yeah, if you can use Source Filmmaker to make porn, I'm pretty certain you'll be able to make, you know, your basic villainy plot with a...
I don't need anything to make porn, man. I just need a phone.
A porn villain video game?
that would be awesome. You could be Ron Jeremy, Evil Overlord.
My dreams are starting to come true.
Dungeon Buster says...
Almost get this game.
Dungeon Buster says, if anything, it could get people interested in getting creative with something new.
And
this is
something beyond like RPG Maker. I mean, it's like if it's just like a 3D version of that.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, RPG Maker is kind of, it's only as limited as you really want it to be, or you have, you know, like if you get people to make art assets for it, you can make something that looks really distinctive.
Pretty limited, though. I mean,
but the thing is, it's I don't know if RPG Maker has like a high level editing low level editing. I mean, it's like it's very much a toolkit, as in, like, you know, you fill in the blanks, and it sounds like this is mostly you fill in the blanks and arrange stuff, but if you want you can dig down into the code and get really involved with it. I don't know if RPG Maker has that ability.
If you're going to do that, though, I mean, that's the whole point of something like this. If you're going to do that, just program your own engine. Like, if you're that good where you can dig into the assets, then you're good enough to make your own.
That's not necessarily a prerequisite to making a good game. Because, I mean, I remember when I was doing stuff in Mugen, you know, if you wanted to, I mean, if you spent the time with it, you could do some really amazing stuff within it, within that engine. If you learning how, you know, just by learning how it works and how to manipulate stuff, and, you know, working within its limitations to pull off some pretty amazing stuff.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, I've seen amazing stuff with Little Big Planet, Moria. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But that kind of my point is that I don't know if you've ever seen. There's a guy who took sprites from Castlevania. It's the guy Serio is his name. There's this thing called Castlevania Mugen Fighter. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what it is, you know, for anyone listening, it's Mugen. You can find videos of it on YouTube, and it's essentially a boss rush of all these really notorious bosses and stuff throughout the series, the history of Castlevania. But it lets you select from pretty much any character that the series has ever seen, and he does stuff with it that, you know, Mugen isn't made to do this. And it's like, wow, this guy's really good. But he may not have any like programming skill.
I know what you're talking about, Mug, and most of that might be true, but there has to be some programming involved with something.
Oh no, well, the thing is, I've worked with Mugen for a couple of years, and it doesn't use a programming language per se. It does a series of, like, you know, what they called states. Like, there's a standing state, jumping states, and, you know, like, and the like, for instance, say your typical like Shoryuken uppercut move. There were four states to it. There was your initial, like, you're starting the move, but you're not in the air yet. The ascending, the descent, and then the landing, and then you go back to your basic standing state.
I get it, but it's
pretty interesting. But anyway, I'm getting way off topic.
That's right. So maybe this next game will be interesting. Breakman, you there?
Did we lose Breakman?
I think we.
Oh, sorry. I've hit the mute button by accident. Sorry. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Steal data from Hostile System and Cyberpunk Roguelite 868 hack. I started reading it. I was wondering why you guys were like still yelling at me. Like, but I'm reading the news. Oh, oopsie.
That's right. Solo game reading the news.
Yeah. Solo game creator Michael Bro. Wow.
Well,
yes. How's it? Brough.
Brow.
Maybe Brow.
Brough. Michael Brough.
Lowenbrow.
It's not Brough.
Why isn't it Brough?
It's not an.
You say tough, and that's GH. It's gotta be.
All right, fine. I'm gonna call him Brough.
All right, there we
Michael
go.
Michael Brough has released his cyberpunk hacking roguelite 868 hack on Steam for Windows and Mac. It'll cost you $5.65. That's not a price. 868 hack has you in the role of a computer hacker as they move through sectors trying to siphon data without being deleted along the way. Well, nobody wants to get deleted. That would suck.
That's like Tron. I mean, that's... Okay.
It's played on a... You know, I didn't see Tron as a kid. I kind of wish I did, because I saw it as an adult, and it just really underwhelmed me as an adult.
It's because, like, I mean, it was ahead of its time, but it...
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those things I wish I'd seen as a kid, because I probably would have really liked it.
It really is. It has to have a lot of, a nostalgia to go with it.
It's really good, though. I mean, it's good. It's the Matrix before the Matrix, basically.
Yeah, you know? It was. And it's like it was interesting as it was shot in a way that has never been repeated. It will never be repeated again, because there's no need to go through so many steps to make it work.
Yeah. I'll say the line bike is still really cool.
Cycles.
Yeah. Cycles, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Well, this game sounds interesting. I mean,
so let's get back to this game anyway. It's played on a grid that has turn-based movement. As you move, you'll see various enemies pop up on the grid, each of which has their own unique behavior, affecting how many squares they can move each turn and how much damage they can take. You can hurt the enemies by being in line with them, either horizontally or vertically. Well, gee, you just said being in line in their jacket. You can also acquire progs by hacking into the numbered squares. These progs let you – I guess it's short for programs, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck a prog is. Let you affect the enemies in ways that put you at a temporary advantage, such as freezing them, damaging them, or shoving them back a square onto the grid, onto their ass. The number on these squares relates to how many enemies it will spawn if you hack into it, so you have to take a risk to get a reward. There are many other tricks and tactics to pick up while playing the game that will help you reach the end of with a high score. It will require some trial and error, but if you're up for it, then 868 Hack offers a tough experience to get knotted up in. You can still play the original 7-day prototype of 868 Hack for free. The game is also available to purchase on the App Store for $5.99. But on Steam, it's $5.65.
That's a weird price point. $5.65.
Yeah, that's
kind of random, yeah.
But what did you want to say, Frank? I'm sorry.
I was just saying it is like a very primitive... Plants vs. Zombies. It seems like to me, with some hacking elements, very primitive, but it could be fun. I don't mind throwback games like that. You know, I mean, you look at the what looks like to me like Vectra graphics, sort of.
Yeah, I don't know what to call these graphics. I really don't.
I don't either, man. Like it's just on,
let me pull this up and
it's
hack.
Really an old look to it, but at the same time, it's not. It's really distinct. I don't know what to say.
I didn't look at the video beforehand, so I
never watch videos. I just judge.
I just judge on the pictures. I judge a book by its cover. Maybe we can judge.
That's definitely not the graphics.
Maybe we can judge this game by its soundtrack. The Atelier series is getting a massive 44-disc soundtrack set.
What the fuck?
That's insane.
Gust Atelier series has been going on for almost two decades now. But to commemorate the occasion of the company's 20th anniversary, they're releasing a massive soundtrack for their popular series. According to Gust, it's CD box featuring tracks from all the main Atelier titles they've released up till now. It doesn't say pricing, but we'll get details soon on that.
Well, $500, I'm guessing. Four discs?
It's
like,
going to be pretty. It's going to be pretty hefty, no doubt.
I mean, like, if you're into the series music, then hey, go for it. That's a hell of a lot of.
The Resident Evil Collection soundtrack is like almost half of that.
Yeah,
and I think that was like about $140 maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, because I remember like they had like a Fatal Fury collection, and that was something like 12 CDs.
Oh god! Imagine if they do a Final Fantasy. That'd probably top the 44 here.
Sure.
Yeah. And they could charge a lot of money for that. People would go for it. But I'm guessing that it'll be about $200. I mean, it doesn't cost nothing to reproduce discs nowadays. So I'm guessing it'll be about $200. I don't remember the music from the Atelier series from what I played being super distinctive and great. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Well, you can go find out for $2,000 or whatever.
All right, Eric, what do we got next, man?
We've got Citizens of Earth is basically getting a demo. That's all this article's about. The demo will be out on February 17th, so that's next Tuesday. Huh. And February 18th and 19th in Europe.
Okie dokie. So what is this?
You don't know what this game is? Mm-mm. It's a game released by Atlus. I was trying to get the creator of the game to show up on the show, but I haven't contacted him yet. Well, but I have a review for it on totallygn.com.
Ah, okay, cool. That's awesome. How does it play? Is it good, Eric?
I gave it a 7 on the PS4 and 7.5 on the PS4, 7 on the PS3 and Vita because the game has some loading issues. Like not only does the load times on those consoles I mentioned take longer, but they're frequent because the way the game's designed, the world's segmented. And it apparently can't stream at all.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of annoys me. Like, you know, there have been several games that made really effective use of streaming technology back in like the PlayStation era, like the original Soul Reaver. It had one long load time at the beginning and then it never loaded again.
Yeah, it should just do that.
Hey, yeah. Break, can you read the next story for us, bud?
Sure. Coming to us live from Destructoid and apparently Hot Tub Time Machine too, because that adds
telling you how bad the 3DS version was.
Oh shit! I didn't even.
I'm sorry. He just told me to read, so I started talking.
I thought you were done.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. There's a Wii U version, but I gave them the same score as PS3 and Vita. Mm.
All right, go ahead, Break.
Are you done, Eric?
I already talked about how bad the 3DS version was, but. You didn't get – let me put that little bit in. That's all.
Right. Go ahead.
Coming to us from Destructoid, the Unova starter giveaway is live in Pokemon Omega Red.
Unova, dude.
Unova?
It's probably Unova.
Yeah. Unova? No, it's Unova.
Unova starter giveaway is live in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. It's a fucking made up name. I'm calling it what the fuck I want to call it.
It's supposed to be like United States, so Unova.
if it's phonetically,
I'm gonna call it the United States from now on.
Yeah, the United States.
The coach
like,
for
Hoopa. Hoopa yeah. Troopa, you know.
The codes for Superior, Emboar, and Samurott in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are now all redeemable. Just head into the mystery gift option and choose quote unquote receive via code. Then type in Pokemon 497, Pokemon 500, Pokemon 503, and respect. You have to type in all this. These Pokemon are packing hidden abilities, Contrary, Reckless, and Shell Armor. So it's worth setting aside a couple of minutes to nab them before leaving them, or nab them before leaving them inside a box unloved.
I don't know what that means.
Basically, you're saying that you'll just keep it as a trophy Pokemon and you won't even use it.
Oh, that's okay. When this distribution event was announced, I asked which of the three monsters was best, and things got weird. I expect to have this. Okay, so I guess I shouldn't have read that last paragraph because it didn't make sense. Okay, right. So I guess the U.S. starter giveaway is live in Pokemon. I'm sorry,
Brayman's
United
like a
States.
Teleprompter. If you give him words, I'll read them.
I hate you so fucking much. I'm done. I'm going home. Taking my ball and going home.
Oh, geez, Bong, man. That's me tonight, buddy. All right.
Bong, man?
That's what I should be called from now on, Bong, man.
Bong, man.
Bong, man? What?
Yeah.
Where'd you get Bong, man?
That's Mega Man 11's secret boss.
Yeah, I know. It's gone. he's Plant Man from Colorado.
There we go.
Well, they kind of already did Plant Man. I guess they haven't done Wheat, well,
that's
man.
What
I could do Frank. Frank Man? Yeah, he blows a blunt right in your face.
I was
gonna and
you're
say, not he,
now Frank for... Frank Man would have nothing to do with weed or anything like that. He would just be very, very forthright with you.
Very forthright and very well endowed.
Oh, I was gonna suggest it was a shorthand for Brett Franklin, and he'll use lightning attacks.
Yeah. Right. Well endowed in what area though? not in the way he's thinking.
In
not
my
the way
junk.
He's
my junk. All right, let's move on, Eric.
Damn right it's junk.
All right, we got Widden from Destructoid, Widden Word, and it's a RPG looting on high seas.
Yeah.
And it says, Steel Sailor's ship represents freedom. It grants the ability to go anywhere and do anything. And Widden Word players take on the role of a captain and dropped into a tropical archipelago sandbox. True to the theme, there are many options for how to spend time as a captain. And there's a video here, but you can't look at that. But basically, he says shows Corvette ship zipping around dreadnoughts, trading fire with each other.
Looks really good, actually, guys. I'm here to tell you, if you're listening in the archives, it looks great. Looks really good, man. Real fun. Like this would be something that you could play with your buddies, and just looks good. So.
I mean, it looks like a multiplayer-focused game, so I don't know where the RPG aspect actually comes in.
I don't know either. It doesn't really remind me of that. Maybe
there's, like, story parts. I don't know.
It could be, but it looks cool. It's like one of those high-flying...
Or maybe you update your ship much like you upgrade your car in GT or something.
You know what? This actually does remind me of a game I've seen before.
I'm sure. Looks cool.
God,
man.
What is that game? I cannot remember what it is, but it really reminds me of just a ship based combat.
Assassin's Creed 4.
I bet
it's old. It's an older game. It's older game.
Age of Booty. Are you thinking of that name?
Age of Booty. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember
tell
what
you
it
now,
is.
I'm,
it's been a long
I'm
time.
Living in an age of booty. Oh yeah.
All right, Mark. What's the next story about?
All right, Dungeon RPG X Cave from Silicon Era. Yeah.
There's a pun there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, Dungeon RPG X Cave being localized for 3DS release. Back in 2013, Mechanic Arms released a top-down dungeon RPG titled X Cave, entitled X Cave. For the Nintendo eShop, this game is now being localized for a 3DS release in North America and Europe by Taeon. X-Cave lets you customize your character with equipment that can be modified and upgraded, and has 50 different dungeon levels to trek through. 5 of those levels contain boss fights. That seems kind of skimpy for...
I just have one thing to say.
It's like a boss fight every 10 floors.
So yeah.
I just have one thing to say about that.
Oh, that's right. You forgot you were going to do that. Yeah. X-Cave is almost...
Jason's the final boss. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently Friday the 13th is getting a new game. But X-Cave is almost a dungeon RPG for beginners. It has elements of roguelikes, but it isn't quite as punishing. You can read more about the game here on some link that you will never be able to click if you're listening to this in archive.
Yeah, exactly.
X-Cave will be released on February 19th in North America for $4.99.
That's what the summaries are for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Europe will get the game soon after, although a date has not yet been announced.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so will the Friday the 13th game be as shitty as the other? Yeah. Just saying.
I wonder if you do any excavating.
I'm done with this show. I quit. You know,
I told you there's one in there.
This, you know what this looks like, kind of? A slightly up, you know, kind of a PS2 era gauntlet.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like a Fatal Labyrinth, maybe.
Yeah.
I never played it. Or maybe it's like... But yeah, I mean, it looks... No,
Lagoon.
Oh, dear. With the shortest sword in the world.
All right, break. Next story.
Okay. I was waiting for the sound effect.
Sound effect away from him.
Coming to us undead from Silicon Era.
So we're obviously post Jason 4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lord of Magna, Made in Heaven, reaches North America this spring. Lord of Magna, it's
I'm pretty sure that's Magna.
Magna, I don't know.
Blah.
Lord of Magna, Made in Heaven, has been officially announced for release in North America. Exceed Games released a 3DS RPG this spring, both at retail and digitally. You can watch an English trailer for it above. Oh, I shouldn't have read that sentence.
Trailer doesn't show
because nobody can watch it except for the people in chat. Lord of Magna is a game developed by the team that works on Ruin Factory. Wait, are they still working on Ruin Factory while they do this? It's a strategy RPG that mixes life simulation elements and combat. Mm. So can you get, what is it, like married and you have to go to the bathroom and do your chores? You have to clean, keep your house
clean. You got to keep that clean.
Because they don't ever show that kind of thing on television. Like, magically, everybody's houses are always clean on television.
Yeah, and everybody's, not just that, everybody is catheterized.
Gross. All right. Let's go on with the next one, Eric.
Next one is from Silicon Era. And it's about Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 3.
Rebirth.
Yeah, Rebirth 3 is headed westward this summer.
Yeah, isn't there a fart / puking sound in that?
Yeah, the colon is the fart sound. Colon is the.
Anyways, Idea Factory have announced that a Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 3 V generation will be released here in North America this summer.
Ah, okay. Yay. I'm not a huge...
Anyways, it says, this is weird, because it says that the game will have a Japanese voiceover track as separate free DLC, because I guess the game's audio track is so large they couldn't fit it into the game itself.
I wonder... Actually, it may not be that. I wonder if that's a way of getting around potential licensing issues.
Maybe.
But you mean they can't package it in...
Yeah, I mean, it's cartridge. Like I've heard Stranger Things.
That's interesting.
But I mean, it's either way. I mean, it's nice to have it.
Well, that didn't stop them from putting it into the cart for the last two.
I couldn't.
Well,
get...
that doesn't mean contracts don't change, or they've decided give them hell about licensing at this time.
Or either they wanted too much money for the third iteration, and this is their way of getting around that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I wasn't too thrilled with the Hyperdimension Neptunia game that I played. I know there's...
Well, if you play the PS3 games, they're pieces of shit. Don't play them. The remakes fixes everything that was wrong with them.
Okay. All right.
Well, the one redeeming factor that those original three had were the script and the humor.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is ass.
All right, Moria, let's go with the next story.
All right. Xseed Harvest's Story of Seasons on March 31st, coming to you undead, as in, actually, and now coming to you in space and undead.
No, you have to say it like it's Jason in Tim. Space.
No, yeah. No. Story of Seasons takes root in North America on March 31st, Xseed Games announced today. The Nintendo 3DS Farming Simulator is the latest entry in the Bokujo Monogatari series, which was previously localized under the name Harvest Moon. Despite the new moniker, Story of Seasons has everything one might expect of the franchise, plus some new elements like online multiplayer, so you can raise crops with friends.
I'm surprised Moria doesn't have groupies the way he speaks Japanese. Like, Bokujo Monogatari! You know, it's like, he's like, in it, like he's localized shit, you know, and translated shit. So, surprise, man.
You how do you know I don't?
Come on, Mark.
I'm just not a braggart.
All right.
Actually, that's not true. I totally would brag about that if that were actually going on. Like, dude, I get. Never mind. I'm not even going to finish that sentence.
Let's see.
Hopefully, it's a lot better than that other Harvest Moon game.
I know. I like the Harvest Moon games, but they kind of...
But the Natsume ones are special, I guess.
I guess. All right, Eric.
Just go out and make your own garden.
Exactly.
A lot of Natsume games are special, but not in a good way.
All right, Eric, one more.
Hey, which ones are you talking about, man?
I'm just kidding. All right. I'm just like bullshitting.
Eric. Last one.
Scott from Silicon Era. Transmission takes the Zelda formula to a mysterious painterly planet.
Screenshot immediately grabs my attention.
Yeah, looks good.
Transmission's sci-fi storyline is one that has been experienced many times before. You'll crash land on an alien planet, and then you have to explore said planet in order to hopefully find a way to get off of it and get back on track towards your destination. But what it does have is a painterly look that laces the game's world with mystery, adventure, and danger.
Yeah, this is a long article, by the way.
Yeah, we're not going to read the whole thing.
That's the last one, so fuck it.
No, not fuck it.
It looks, in this one screenshot here, it looks kind of like you're in a virtual setting.
Yeah, it's like apparently the guy describes like games like Zelda and films like Star Wars and Blade Runner.
Maybe Zelda in the sense that like it's open world esque and you can go to places as long as you can do things.
Yeah. You know,
I just hope there's no hidden like passages that have people force you to pay money to fix their broken rock that you've destroyed to get into their house.
Oh yeah,
I like this.
It looks nice. Although I see the word that Frank hates more than anything else involved here.
Kickstarter, of course. I mean, shit, couldn't be anything. But right.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like it's a part of the gaming of gaming now, and you really can't get away from it.
You can't get away from it, but it bothers me to no end, Moria. It takes a lot of the equation out of what inspired people in the past. You know, I mean, it's an easy.
Well, the thing
out.
Is, you also have to bear in mind that developing a game, it's like games don't come in 4K maximum sizes anymore.
So
like they did in the Atari era.
So what?
It takes a lot more work to go, a lot more work and art design and stuff and music and everything goes into creating games nowadays.
It's either don't make a game or rely on the help of people instead of investors who might control your project anyway.
Yeah. Well, in these indie games, they really didn't do that. Like, there's no way a big time investor would say, you got to do this, you know? And if that was the case, a lot of these guys would use their first game as a jumping point, and they wouldn't put all the ideas that they had in their head into the game. So, I mean, look at it. As much as I don't like a guy like Phil Fish, that guy worked his ass off and got the game
done. I see the benefit of using Kickstarter if you're a new company, and then you can use this one game to get your foot in the door so you can get funding from other places.
Right, I could see Kickstarter be used for anything and everything, man. You know, I've thought of using Kickstarter for us, honestly. But I'm like, look, I have a lot of integrity here. I don't Everything that I've worked for.
Are you insinuating that everybody does not have integrity?
I didn't say that, Eric. But I'm making a point. You guys don't let me finish. I mean, if you want to hear what I have to say, let me finish. The thing about it is, I don't want to hear it. I have a lot of integrity, right? I built the Wicked Radio Network from the ground up. I don't have much. The website is fairly basic. It's not anything super special, but I'm very proud of it. Like, and I'm sure these guys are proud of their game too. But how proud of a game can you be when you start getting all this money and you're using other people's money to do what you should have been doing in the first place?
Whether or not you're getting an investor's money or you're getting other people's money, you're still getting people's money.
Right. And I think it would be too much of a burden for me. Like if I threw us on Kickstarter and let's say I had a $5,000 goal to market us and all this, how good would I feel after that?
In all seriousness, I think that you could easily put together a Patreon, for that and say if you want to, it's awesome. If not, it's cool, it'll still be free to anyone who wants to listen. But if you feel so, and that's kind of the thing. I don't have a problem with, I understand some of your issues with Kickstarter. Personally, I have no issue whatsoever with Patreon. And it's like, if you want to support somebody, go for it.
Patreon's basically a big donate button.
Yeah. Look, there's no question.
I thought
about
starting a Patreon for my writing.
I even thought about that for the website. I'm like, look, I could throw a donate button on there. I'd probably get a few bucks. I'm sure Dungeon would throw in a few bucks. Gripper, Freak 5 Chaos. A lot of these people. But I would feel...
Hey, you like how he's just reaching into your wallet, listeners? No. You hear this?
Look, I'm doing the exact opposite.
For all that integrity.
Look, I've put up the money for how many fucking years for Wicked Radio? I've never asked for a penny from anybody. I'm not the richest guy in the world. But I'm proud of what I've done. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to hear any, whining from anybody that you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And if I do, it's like, okay, I'll take it into consideration, but I'm not on
that
timer.
So does it have less to do with integrity and more to do with pressure?
Pressure and integrity, man. I it's not that people that go onto Kickstarter have any less integrity, but it just seems to me like if you really are that passionate about something...
I don't know, Frank. Maybe you're just old-fashioned.
I think you're kind of showing your age.
He's an old guy, by the way.
Look.
So he's over 200 years old.
Get out of here.
old would be a compliment. Ancient is right.
I think the word we're looking for here, guys, is
eons. Eons old.
Break just mentioned in chat, when will we have an excuse to use the Tales from the Crypt theme? We have it now because Frank is basically the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, get out of here. Son of bitches, man.
Frank walks past an old folks home and the old folks home, people in there go like, God, that guy's old.
Every week, Frank needs to do the Crypt Keeper.
You know what? I almost feel like doing it. Get out of here, Moria. Get out of here, Moria. Damn it. Look, I almost feel like doing a Patreon just as an experiment, just throwing together something real quick just to see how far people are willing to go to
one of his bonuses for people that that subscribe, he will provide an alternate version of he'll provide an alternate version of the podcast in which he pronounces Patreon correctly.
Whatever. Look, Patreon, and tomato,
wolf,
tomato.
And the wolf, I mean.
Look, you could put Gripper in a room with me and we would say everything completely different, right? I mean, honestly.
You could just put me in a room with anybody and I'll mispronounce everything. So
oh, man, I hate you guys so much. You have no idea. All right, that's the end of the news. All right. Let's move on, guys. Let's see. Do we have any homie discounts this week? Anything at all?
There's a flash sale going on PSN.
I have a real quick one. At Best Buy, there's certain amiibos that are going for $9.99, like Yoshi, and I don't know if that's everywhere now. But
wow, they're only they're slightly less of a complete waste of money.
They're not a complete waste of money.
I'll get some of the Fire Emblem amiibos just because they unlock characters in Codename Steam.
They actually look really cool. If you looked at them, they're very detailed for being as cheap as they are. I mean,
they're dust magnets.
Nintendo's the ultimate peripheral company.
I like it.
They really have figured it out.
I like
them. Well, with the Amiibos, they're pretty much following the footsteps of Disney.
I know this one they're copying, but just think about all the other stuff they've done. You know?
I like it. I think they look cool. I mean, I wished I had all of them, but I can't obviously afford
that. Luigi Amiibo, man.
You know what really surprises me is that they haven't done a complete line of Pokemon, because you know people would buy that shit up.
Gripper's urging me to do a Patreon. I don't know if I should, Gripper. Like, I know other than you guys, who the hell's going to donate to it? You know, honestly.
I would just like to point out Gripper called Frank Crypty.
Get out of here, Gripper.
But see, that's the thing, guys. That's the thing, man. It's like, it doesn't hurt. You know, it's like, you can put it up there and say, like, you know, if you want to do it, awesome. If not, I won't be offended.
How about this for an idea? How about this for an idea? I do that, and I'm not going to deal with, like, shirts and all that type of shit, because I've tried that shit before, and it's way too expensive, and it would not be worth it. But what if I did something like, because I'm fairly good at podcasting, I know almost everything there is to it. Maybe like Skype calls to people, like ideas for the show, like new segments. Yeah.
The money that you put in will go back into the podcast, like getting better hardware and everything like that. You know, to stuff to make the podcast better.
Yeah, maybe
securing interviews and things like that.
Yeah,
I know I give you a lot of shit, and we all do, Frank, but I'm going to kiss your ass for just a moment here. You are really good at podcasting.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like, you know, if I pick on you, that means
I'm done
that,
kissing
like,
your ass. I'm going back to the Stan Frank joke.
No, seriously, I mean, if I did that, it'd have to be along those lines, but maybe I could do like where we have people on the air, like we interview people, we ask them about their, you know, stuff like that. I think that would be true to the show. Like I like all this other shit, like, you know, I'll give you a koozie, you know, an RP Grinders koozie. Yeah, that'd be okay, but I mean, honestly, I mean, I'd much rather connect with fans than give people a fucking keychain or something. You know, I mean, how effective is that? I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But I'll take any and all suggestions, too. Shit. I mean, yeah. If anybody's listening out there, which I know there are a few.
I mean, the thing is, it's something you could also do across, you know, all of your shows. It's like, if you were, you know, this, you basically kind of point out that, you know, any money you put in towards it will go to benefit all the shows that you work on.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for a while, guys, but one of our shows, the Higher Side Chats, which is a fairly big show. I mean, they get tons of downloads. Greg Carlwood, if you haven't listened to it, you guys really should. It's a shameless plug for that show. But
what's that one about?
Conspiracy theories and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe in a lot of the conspiracy theories on that show. But Greg puts a lot of work into that show. And he's got this thing called the Money Bomb, where people, you know, put money into this, I don't know if it's an account or what, but he'll take half of that money and give it to one fan every month. So for a whole month, he'll, you know, all the donations go into this one big pot, and then half of the money he gives randomly to a random fan. So, and some of those things get huge. Like I believe one time he gave away like $500, which is crazy, you know? Yeah. So
that'd be pretty cool.
It would be cool. I don't quite have the audience in Grinders. I mean, I could try something like that on DMT or something. But I don't know. I'll think about the Patreon idea. I have to look into it and see if it's viable and see what, you know, if people would be interested in that. I mean,
maybe we could sell Eric in the sex trade. No, I don't mean like sell him. I mean sell him in the sex. You know?
We could rent him out.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Basically, we can make Eric into we can make him into a rent boy.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant. Thank you.
I'll think about it, guys. I think this is an idea that's brewing in my head that might work. Yeah. I don't know. We'll
probably see. Something that we should discuss more in depth off the stream, though.
Look, people like hearing about that shit every once in a while.
Oh, I know. So, I mean,
besides,
but
they can give us ideas if we're listening.
Right.
If they're listening.
That's the whole point.
Although, I mean,
we would appreciate.
consume a whole podcast.
Okay, here's the question to any and everybody out there that's listening, and I know we have quite a few listeners. What do you think would be good rewards? What do you guys like for rewards with Kickstarter? I don't have any games or anything. It has to be podcast related. What kind of rewards would you guys like? How about if we leave it like that? So, all right, what have you been playing? Let's start with you, Eric.
I've been playing over the weekend. I played a little bit of Castle in the Darkness, and I got through a little bit of Criminal Girls and finished that off last night. The review should be up within a couple hours, if not tomorrow.
So, on which site?
On Total EGN. All
right.
And I recently got on AISA's PR list for games and anime.
Awesome.
And I've got code for Hotel Geek, or hashtag Geek, because that's in the title. But it's a little puzzle game that's kind of like Limbo, but it's a point and click type of deal.
Really like Limbo. I love the style of Limbo. It's great. All right.
Yeah, there's like no voice acting. It's just silent storytelling stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of a lost art. Not a lot of people can do that effectively anymore. But all right. What else, Eric?
It is kind of hard to play, though, because the point and click nature doesn't exactly translate well on the Vita touchscreen because you have to use the rear touchscreen.
Oh, shit.
That's not that bad.
Awkward.
It is awkward, but it's not nearly as awkward as trying to play on the Vita TV where you have to use the analog sticks.
All right. Well, that was a back-ass compliment. It is awkward, but not as quite as awkward as this other way, which is just ridiculous.
Well, it kind of reminds me of complaints people had about the PS3 version of Dragon's Crown.
It just makes me wonder why they didn't go the PC route, because a point and click with a mouse makes just a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Eric?
Nah, I was thinking. So that's all I really played. All
right, break.
That explains the smoke smell.
Wow, you can smell something.
Huh. Break. What have you been playing?
Let me see here. I've been playing the same shit I always play. I haven't played that since I've been playing this other game, which is starting to bother me right now.
Uh oh.
Plague Inc. has a couple of things that I really don't like. Well, I should say one thing I really don't like is its payment structure. I bought the game proper, but to unlock other things within the game, you have to beat them on a certain level or pay for them. So even though I've already paid for this game, I can go out there and spend $1 per level to unlock. And cheat codes are $10, by the way.
Damn.
Some of the stuff is expensive, but I mean, there's nothing in the game that you can't unlock through game.
Yeah, well, I'm having trouble, and maybe you could help me with this.
It's hard. I'm not good. I am not really good at the game.
Okay, I'm stuck on the fungus level.
Yeah, my son will be able to help.
I bought all the plague types. I haven't tried fungus yet. I do know that if you play it on casual and you win, you unlock genes. The things that you insert into your plague that can give you little bonuses, and those can give you a boost to start off with.
Okay, so I should probably play more casual because I've been trying to play – because you have to beat it on normal to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Which I think is stupid. I think if you buy a game, you should be able to get to the – go unlock these other levels,
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, it's like playing it's not that different from something like Contra 3 where you had to play it on hard.
I know, but that was something that was done back in the 80s and 90s. That's just such an old way of doing things. Mm. Well, I would like games to come out nowadays. Like they tried it and it failed because the game wasn't good with Alone in the Dark, but it let you skip to different levels and stuff,
Which Alone in the Dark are you talking about?
The 360?
Yeah, see, I played the PS3 version of it, which was much improved. I actually got a platinum trophy. It was the first platinum trophy I ever got. I played the hell out of that game. I mean, it was still like it wasn't amazingly fantastic.
Well, I know they did a lot of updates to it, and I'm just going by what people told me. I never played it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, I mean, it's the PS3 version. I would say is worth playing, especially since it's old and you can get it for a couple bucks. Hmm. And I mean, hell, it retailed for $19.95 or $19.99, because it was basically an updated version of a not well received game. But right. it doesn't have the Resident Evil tank controls anymore, which makes a world of difference.
Oh, I bet.
I don't mind Resident Evil's tank controls.
Well, no, the thing is, in Alone in the Dark, the way it was set up, it just didn't work at all.
Okay.
Hmm. I don't like the tank.
Conversely, the new control scheme in the Resident Evil HD port, it works well, but only in open areas where the cameras doesn't randomly switch all the time. Because what tends to happen is that you'll move in the direction you actually pressed in, because it just reverts to actual normal controls. If you're going forward always with one direction, then you won't have to worry about that. That's much better for turning corridors and stuff.
Yeah, but the original Devil May Cry, I thought, had a pretty simple and effective means of dealing with that, because when the perspective would change, you would still keep going in the same direction as long as you held a direction. If you wanted to suddenly switch directions,
the thing is, it kind of does that, but it's inconsistent when it does that.
Okay, because the Devil May Cry was not, because in order to suddenly change directions after the camera had switched, you just let it flick back to normal and then push in the direction you wanted to go. And it's like it took a little bit of getting used to, but after about an hour, it just became second nature.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says he hates tank controls. I'm with him. I hate them too. What have you been playing, Mug?
Speaking of tank controls.
Well, before you say that, Dungeon Buster also said he really liked the PC version of Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, Alone in the Dark was all right.
So he's with you. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been playing.
You broke up, Mug.
Oh, sorry. I picked up the PlayStation 3 version of the Silent Hill HD collection.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, as I don't know if you guys heard about this, but like when it was first released, it was really badly broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
The PS3 version, I was like, okay, I saw copies of the Xbox 360 version here and there, but I can never find a PS3 version. But the thing was, apparently the PS3 version got a patch to fix a lot of the issues, and Konami specifically said the Xbox 360 version is not getting patched. I'm like, that's a really shitty thing to do, but
that's
a big
fuck you to Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, apparently like, causing problems. I don't know all the scope of all the issues with it, but it was, it was pretty bad. I mean, and I've played, it only includes Silent Hills 2 and 3. I don't know why it doesn't contain 4, because I wish it did.
Yeah, 4 was good. I like
4 was good. It had some really bad design decisions, like with the inventory system specifically. But either way, it's like I played both of them, and there's some things where it's like, the frame rate's not everything it could be. And so, at some points, but I mean, it's at least, post patch, I've never tried it before, I've never tried removing the patch or anything to see how it worked. But I mean, it seems to run fine. I grabbed Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z on the very cheap, and I still felt ripped off. That game is like they're not.
I got that for free on PC, so I wonder how that will go.
Oh,
what game was that?
It's that spinoff that Spark developed for Tecmo Koei.
Not Spark Concept.
No, it was Spark. It was Spark. There, that's the logo that comes up when you boot up the game. But
it has something to do with it, though.
I don't think Concept had anything to do with it. But it's a spinoff of the Ninja Gaiden series. You play as a ninja whom Ryu Hayabusa has killed, and is brought back as like this cyber thing who's fighting this zombie apocalypse in Russia. It's cel shaded, and it actually looks really nice, but it doesn't feel at all like a Ninja Gaiden game, other than the fact that it's a 3D,
it feels more like No More Heroes if No More Heroes was bad.
I haven't played No More Heroes, but
it's No More Heroes isn't exactly great either. So.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, it's like there's no.
Although that's not great for other reasons.
Yeah, but there's no flair to the combat. There's no skill involved. It's just you have a bunch of dumb enemies, and you slash your way through everything.
Not to mention, Naiba is a very terrible character. Not terribly written. He's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, yeah, really unlikable character. I mean, he's a villain, but he's just like this, you know, this unbelievably, you know, like even for Team Ninja, the game is unbelievably sexist.
It's not a Team Ninja game, is it?
Well, it's a Ninja Gaiden game. So, I mean, and that's Team Ninja, but it's like even for like the.
I could have sworn that Keiji Inafune had something to do with it, being the director or something.
I'm almost positive.
So you're saying they're like triple D's?
No, I'm not just talking about. Well, there's a female character who's like the support character named Monday, who's like this redhead with the anime ponytails on either side, and whose shirt literally is like just it's not support, it's not covering anything, and it's just but it's.
She doesn't like brawls either, right?
No, she likes her bra because it's very visible. But it's just like some of the comments and stuff that are made is just like, oh, God, I can't believe people actually agreed to say these lines. And it's like, you know, the one part of the game that's like, oh, well, that looks really neat, is the bits where you like, okay, you have to traverse from one major area to the other. And it's almost kind of a Prince of Persia sort of look and feel to it, where like, you know, you jump across here and you get to this point, you have to press a button to make sure you get the right thing. The problem is there's no timing involved. You can literally just slam the face buttons and you will get through it.
Ooh, I like that.
It's so –
I like gaming.
Boring.
Well, isn't that – because QTEs suck.
This is what should happen to that game, guys. That's what should happen.
And it's like I told you guys about my stepdaughter and I starting up the YouTube, the Let's Play channel. I went into it, you know, completely blind. I'd seen a little bit of video here and there. I'd not played it. She'd never seen it. So we recorded a little bit of it. We got about 30 minutes in and we're both like, this is fucking awful.
Hey, Whippix wants to say hi. I always do this to her when she comes in here. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Whippix.
Hi.
Yeah, you should hear the shit he says about you when you're not around.
She can't hear you guys. Sorry. You can bitch all you want to. What else have you been playing, Mug? We got to move along.
Played a little bit of just grinding goals and stuff on Saints Row Get Out of Hell. Just like it's like my, you know, Saints Row stuff is like my go-to. And I'm like, I don't really have anything else going on. I think I'll get one of the things that kill this many things with this weapon and that kind of deal.
Yeah. I've been playing and having a ton of fun. It's a great game. There's not many major complaints I have other than it's more of the same as Mario Kart 8. It's awesome. It's really good.
I've heard really good stuff about it. It's just I've never really been I don't care for Mario stuff, but I've never been able to get into kart racing.
What the hell is
God,
wrong with
every
you,
dude? Every single I've liked and enjoyed every single
Mario
Kart
I don't
game
think
I've
ever had a bad experience with any
Well, the
Mario
thing is
game.
It's like it's not that I think and I mean I've mentioned this before. It's like it's not that I think they're bad games. They're well-made games that just don't appeal to me.
Well, that's you know what I can see that. You're
I think that my favorites are probably the N64 version and maybe Double Dash. I had a lot of friends play that one.
Double Dash is great. The GameCube, you're talking the GameCube one.
Yeah. The only thing I hated about that was this little fucking Mario kid.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Baby Mario and Baby Luigi are assholes.
Yeah, they are. They suck. I hate them. Yeah. All right. Twitter questions. I skipped over that.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Oh, I wasn't fucking – I didn't even load my Twitter. Fuck.
What's wrong with you, man?
We'll come back to that in a moment, right?
Yeah. But I was going to say – well, while you're doing that, I was going to say like – you know, I think one of the things with me is that the Mario franchise has always kind of annoyed me. It's like I don't – the characters –
asshole. Sorry,
what could annoy you about that franchise, man?
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what, the voice acting for Super Mario Sunshine was annoying.
Well, actually, it was well before that. It's just I found it just kind of dull.
I think Super Mario Sunshine is one of the most underrated video games ever made.
It's hard as fuck.
I agree with that.
It is hard as fuck, but especially apparently the
bird level is apparently like the nightmare of to end all nightmares.
What the level that. You have to collect coins on a bird.
Yeah.
Sandbird.
I guess. I mean, I've watched some videos. I watched like the Game Grumps playing through that, and it's like apparently everyone was saying, "Oh, I can't wait until you do the bird level," and they're like, "Yeah, it was kind of nightmarish for them."
Tiger Claw's in chat on Friday 13th. What is
hey,
up,
Tiger Claw? Tiger Claw. Woo.
Yeah. You're a curmudgeon. That's what it is.
It's Moria. Not. The thing is, I'm not saying these are bad games. It's just they're not for me.
You know. There's something to that.
At least you aren't being an asshole and saying it's
yeah.
key.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
that's right.
Like Frank does with Pokemon.
Oh, get out of here.
And that's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to give anybody shit for liking Mario games. It's just, all I ask for in return is just to accept the fact that I don't like them and don't give me shit about it. It's like, it's just not my thing.
But,
I have games.
But that's
I have
my
games,
job is to give people shit about stuff.
Yeah.
Frank pays me. He doesn't pay you guys, but he pays me.
There are people out there who can't stand East or Ninja Gaiden, and those are my two favorite franchises. So,
I'm big in Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden's too difficult for me. It's really difficult. I can't take it. Like
I like the NES Ninja Gaidens, and I like the arcade Ninja Gaiden that was sadly overlooked.
Why?
Arcade Ninja Gaiden was not.
When it came out at the time, it was.
Don't play the Mega Drive Ninja Gaiden either.
It was never even. That was never even released. I actually used
but
to.
The, but if you find a ROM online, don't play it either.
Yeah, when the Ninja Gaiden for arcade came out, what else was out? Double Dragon?
Yeah.
And Ninja Gaiden for the Turbo. Graphics.
God
was,
damn, the
that
the
was quarter, just weird.
The quarter
was
like,
that game actually has a built-in translation. You put in a code and it changes everything to English or Chinese. I think
it's built-in translation, and the first half of the game feels is a remix of the original.
The quarters I spent on Double Dragon.
Actually, the entire game is a remix of the original. All the levels are exactly the same. It just doesn't play exactly the same.
And yeah, don't get me wrong. I love Double Dragon.
All right, break. Let's go with Twitter questions.
Okay, man. Twitter. There's not really questions, just comments. A lot of comments.
All right, let's go.
So these are all from Freak5Chaos. He says, "I'm always busting Frank's balls. I think Breakman deserves it too. So I'm stealing his catchphrase and making it funny. You son of a bitch." Making it funny, huh? I gotcha. Live from exile. I am not letting up on Frank. Live from my cubicle at work. This is Nord asking Groot how many licks it takes to get to the center, and you'll have to follow me on Twitter to see the picture. But he has a couple chibi dolls, one of Groot, one of Nord. Live from my bed. I am trying to go to sleep. I scratch my balls, and the kitten, seeing movement under the blankets, pounces. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. Mm-hmm. Coming to you live from a red light. When Frank said the check is in the mail, he meant male stripper's G-string. Well, we all knew that. I mean,
get out of here.
We already know. And tell us what?
Wait,
the types of strip club Frank was talking about earlier in the show.
What? I can't remember what that was in reference
to. Yeah, I don't remember what we said at the time. Live from my work bathroom. It smells like somebody died in here. Yeah, I hate that. And I am getting paid to poop. That's always pretty awesome. RP Grinders and pooping pays better than Frank Branches.
I don't know if it was on Facebook or Twitter, a picture of Freak 5 holding his breath.
Yeah, he said that's actually he had a caption to go with that one. which I just lost. Where'd it go?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Fuck. Come on, scroll. Live from my cubicle at work, me holding my breath as I wait for the check from Frank. and there's just a few more. Live from Ohio, Breakman wake up after a night of drinking and blows up my phone retweeting all my tweets from today. Dude, I was working, man. I couldn't. I was really busy that day. I saw the tweets you were saying, but I didn't really have time to do anything. RP Grinders, dead from my front porch. The check hasn't shown up, and I held my breath a little too long.
Well, it's because I told him if you're not purple, then you're good. So apparently you turned purple, Freak. So.
And he has an undead from my desk, Mr. Turtle. He has a chibi Donatello. I was puking for a couple minutes after reading this headline. I will read this for you in just one moment after I do this. Full disclosure, the puking may have been caused by my acid reflux, but I started puking right after reading it. And the story he is talking about is this, that's suddenly like taking forever to load. I remember what the story is about, and I could say, but I wanted to kind of get to it. Okay. Med student makes yogurt using her own vaginal bacteria.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
And this comes to us from KBCW. KB to the CW?
If we never – look, what's going on? Somebody opening something?
What's wrong with vagina? It tastes pretty good to me. I mean, if it's clean, you don't want dirt.
Come on,
ladies. Man. As long as you keep it good, it's, don't let the man complain.
Are you going to eat this yogurt, man? I mean, honestly,
I don't like yogurt.
I don't either.
I'll eat it.
I don't like yogurt. The
dude,
vagina tastes fine to me.
It's all just bacteria called.
I'm good on that. Let's get on to our stinkos. Hey, Freak 5 Chaos, keep them coming, man. Really appreciate those tweets. It gives Break something to do, really. I mean, he says he's at work. That's a lie. His wife works, or his girlfriend works, and he just...
Break is a kept home. Man.
Get out of
right.
here.
Right, that's exactly right.
It's like, I fucking wish.
I stay home all day, and I order the servants around, and I play
that's
with my
right.
cats
that's
and
right.
my balls. And
that's
it.
Right. That's right. That's the way to
not
do it.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right. And the dog, too. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Thanks a lot, Freak5, for your input. That it's awesome to hear from you. Let's go with Eric Stinko first. Let's go down the line.
My Stinko is more Pope talk. This is from patheos.com, and it says, name articles here, it says, child-free Pope Francis says, not having children is selfish.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And it reads here, this clueless Pope Francis, a celibate man without children, tells an audience at St. Peter's Square that choosing not to have children is selfish.
That's fine by me. I like being selfish.
Well, to be fair, I understand his rationale, because if people don't have children, who are those 8,000 pedophile priests going to have sex with?
Well, they have to be male, too, right?
No, they don't, actually. It is much more common for it to happen to little boys, but it's by no means an exclusive thing.
Right. I mean, that's why they celebrate males being born, though, man. It's like, you know, it's a big thing. But I don't know how much you want to read of that, Eric, but... I mean, it said it itself. He doesn't even have kids himself. I mean,
yeah, and he's calling them greedy. I mean, I think wanting to have more humans on the planet is greedy because
I don't know
our planet can't sustain that many fucking people.
Well, that's not true.
They're already like we're already like 7.2 billion people in this world.
Okay, yeah, but look at how many. Enough. Look at how much war goes on and how much killing goes on daily. I think we're balancing.
Plus, there's
it out.
Other socioeconomic factors to consider as to why people may not be wanting to have children.
Well, how about they just don't want kids? I mean, that's a perfectly okay reason. You know,
I don't want kids.
I don't want kids.
I never wanted. Well, I used to until I had stepchildren.
I have kids, and look. I'm a big advocate of having.
Also,
kids.
Recently, he.
You know, if it happened to me.
Also, recently he supported the banning of same-sex marriages.
Of course. I mean, why not?
Yeah, what do you expect?
After saying that he accepted gays. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's a two-faced liar.
The Catholic Church has...
I thought he said he accepted evolution, too, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's a
Pope
bullshit
John, Pope John,
liar.
No, Pope John Paul said that years ago. Oh, okay. And
then Ratzinger said no.
Yeah.
Ratzinger
the thing
was
is, they, I mean,
normal.
Oh... I have, you know, I wish that the left of the United States would stop collectively filleting that asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Pope Francis is every bit as bad as anybody else that's been in the.
The left are so worried about being called a racist or bigot that they all suck cock. Basically.
All right. Let's see. Anything else on that? I mean, come on. Everybody knows how I'm running for the next pope. That's a well-established fact.
I think you have to be Catholic for that to happen.
No, not necessarily.
He also.
I'm pretty certain you have to be Catholic to be
not necessarily.
I think he's right about the being Catholic.
Well, Frank was raised Catholic.
Well, my dad was a Catholic, so there you go. There's my in. Break. Do you have any stinkos?
Yes. Last week, while I was burying a friend, someone stole my fucking pooper scooper for my dog.
Ah, I saw you tweeted that, man.
Who the fuck steals a pooper scooper?
Kids. Dude, look.
Kids will steal anything.
Yeah, my neighborhood is really quiet, right? There's not a lot that goes on here, stuff like that. But there have been a couple of instances where I'm pretty sure it's kids. I mean, who the hell else is going to break somebody's window and run off? You know,
yeah. Well, like, I don't understand. Like, there's probably shit coated on it. You know, why would somebody take this?
Maybe they needed one.
I guess. Like, I don't know. Fuck them, man. Bunch of bullshit. All right, Mug.
From my home state of South Carolina, we have a GOP lawmaker, of course, calls.
Women, I was gonna say, of course,
calls women, quote unquote, a lesser cut of meat.
Oh my goodness!
Okay, so yeah.
No, that's it. No, I'd say that.
Hang on, referring to women specifically as pieces of meat.
Yeah, no. There was a little bit of context. You know, his name is Thomas Corbin, South Carolina state senator. As his remarks occurred during a legislative dinner this week to discuss domestic violence legislation. Mm-hmm. Sources present at the meeting stated that Corbin directed his comments at fellow GOP state senator Katrina Sheely, the sole woman in the 46-member chamber. And I see it only took me 2 years to get you wearing shoes, Corbin told Sheely, who won election in 2012. Corbin, the site explains, is said to have previously cracked that women should be, quote, at home baking cookies, end quote, or, quote, barefoot and pregnant, end quote, not serving in the state legislature.
Oh, man.
He makes comments like that all the time to everybody, including Senator Sheely, said one legislative aide.
Hold on.
Now for the specifics of what he actually said this time.
All right.
Indignant at Corbin's rank sexism, Sheely asked him where he got off making such remarks. Well, you know, God created man first, a smirking Corbin replied. Then he took the rib out of man to make woman. And you know, a rib is a lesser cut of meat.
Ooh.
Corbin appears to have a penchant for offensive or downright bizarre statements. During a 2013 speech on the Common Core Education Standard, he reportedly embarked on a tangent about gay man juice.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, a real, real class act, this.
Why is there not an oversight committee that can take care of pieces of shit like this and just oust them? Why is that not so, honestly?
Are they just as pieces of shit?
It's a pain in the ass to try and get somebody ousted.
Or are they looking bad for doing so?
No, what you do is you get everybody that was in the room, you get the oversight committee, right, which is like 3-4 people, and you call all these senators into a room, and you ask them exactly what was said. And if you find that this guy said what he said, which there's plenty of witnesses, including Sheely, you immediately then say, okay, sir, you have a 1-year suspension. We're going to put somebody in your place, and we'll get you back on further review. You know, if you haven't went through mental training and
the problem with that, as far as the legislature goes,
freedom of speech.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But as far as the legislature goes, your terms are 2 years, and the amount of the problem there is that the dealing with something like that would wind up caught up in like appeals and stuff for so long that it's basically pointless.
Well, all they need to, look, for anybody that's running for office in the near future, take these instances, all right, and use them as your campaign platform. I'm running on a platform of getting rid of pieces of shit like this when I run, right? You will never hear me be sexist, racist, or any of the other horrible things that the GOP
think everybody slips up now and then, and they say something that they don't think –
look,
comes off.
This was obviously the kind
right. Well, this guy's different, but I'm saying we all say something sometimes where we don't realize
I would agree with that. But that's usually out of context. Break. This was perfectly in.
No,
context.
I'm not talking about this guy. This guy's a dick.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's got to change. You know, somebody that's trying to change things is the Young Turks. They're a liberal organization that's doing this Wolfpack thing to try to get money out of politics. Why don't somebody like that start a like a pack for getting racism, sexism, all that type of shit out of politics too? Right?
Did you say the Wolfpack? Yeah, so like Wolfpack. Kevin Nash?
No.
And Scott Hall? And no. Hollywood Hulk Hogan?
I wish, man. That'd be cool.
And Sting and Lex Luger and let's see, Macho Man.
Yeah.
Who else was in there? Conan. That guy was in there. Yeah. Or K-Dog, whatever you want.
Yeah,
that was
the LWO eventually, man. But anyways, anything else on that, Mug?
No, it just irritates the shit out of me.
Of course it does, man. Fucking sucks.
That's the kind of thing like where.
How do the voters even think that that's cool? Like, there's got to be half women there. Why don't the women get together, even if they are GOP, and say,
I think the problem is most of the people who go out and vote are the older generation.
Yeah, that, because there's a lot of institution, not just institutionalized, but internalized sexism from women.
Yeah,
because there are a lot of women who vote Republican who think exactly the same way he does.
Oh my goodness, man.
It's true.
You know what it's going to take? It's going to take these older people dying. That's what it's going to take.
It's quite literally exactly what it's going to take.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Mug?
Well, I wanted to touch on the Chapel Hill shooting, but I will let you go and do your thing first because I have a feeling that the Chapel Hill shooting might be involved.
Well, let's go ahead and do it real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Obviously, people know by now. Look, Gripper's in chat. He's in England. A lot of this type of shit doesn't happen in foreign countries. Like, I go two ways on the Second Amendment, right? I think it's our right to do... carry guns and all that type of stuff. I believe we should, especially in the wake of police being as fucking assholes as they are, and there's no real way to protect yourself against people like that. But in this case,
this also has implications for us as atheists.
It does,
because
but
he was a vocal and outspoken atheist, and I mean, there are points being made on both sides that it's like, you know, that have to be taken into consideration, because there are some very vocal fear mongers among the atheist movement who are like just, you know, genuine Islamophobes.
Right.
And I don't generally use that word, because I think more often than not it's used to just stifle criticism of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But you have people like Bill Maher and Sam Harris, who, you know, I agree with on a lot of things, but I think they are, you know, I mean, Sam Harris openly supports racial profiling of Middle Easterners.
I've heard his arguments, and he makes very strong arguments for racial profiling. But look, who am I to say you should racially profile?
The point that has been made is like, you know, this may have just been about a parking space, but there's also the question is like, it's obvious from this guy's history that, you know, like the stuff that he, you know, likes and like his Facebook history and stuff like that, you know, he was, you know, an avid listener of people like Sam Harris and Bill Maher and some other and Pat Condell, who's a very notorious
Don't forget that guy who killed George Tiller was very into listening to Bill O'Reilly as well.
As long as they don't take advice from Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is that, you know, there's the question is, might it have gotten to, might it have not reached this scale if not for the vein of Islamophobia that kind of runs through a lot of atheist communities?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so, Moria. And the reason I say that is they did an interview with his wife or ex-wife. I can't remember. I think it was his wife. And his wife was very adamant. This was not a hate crime. This was – which, by the way, is an oxymoron. Hate crime, a crime is a crime. I don't believe you should get years tacked on because somebody's black, white, you know, Mexican.
I think the years should be tacked on anyway for murder.
Right. You know? That's right. It should just be murder. That, if you want racial type of situations to go away – then you call everything equal. You know, you don't call one thing.
Oh, yeah. I have similar issues with hate crime legislation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not something that can – I mean, the thing is, you know, the testimony of his wife is – it's ultimately anecdotal. I mean, it's
– Well, the testimony of anybody is anecdotal.
That's the problem. I mean, eyewitness testimony is inherently flawed. I mean, we'll never know his precise motivations. We can only speculate. And that's kind of the opposite side of it. It's like, you know, he didn't do this, but, you know, he didn't do this because he was an atheist and they were Muslims. But there are people that he listened to in the atheist movement who were very outspoken against, you know, not just Islam, but Muslims. And it's, you know, you can't completely discount the possibility that might have had an influence.
I discount it because I can never remember once Sam Harris saying you should protect yourself against Muslims. Not one time.
This is not a direct quote, but it's very, very close. It's like, there are people with such dangerous ideas that it could be considered ethical to kill them.
Well, okay. That's in a different context. He's talking overseas type shit, man. He's not talking like this type of shit, Moria. You know, this type of shit.
When you make a statement like that, that's as broadly interpretable.
Look,
as it is.
Okay,
you have to.
Here's the problem, right? We're overlooking the main issue. It has nothing to do with racism, anti-theism. Atheism, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with this guy using a gun for a dispute that if he didn't have the gun, then things would have been a lot different, right? This guy would not – I mean, the Young Turks made a great point on this. I watched this video, and Cenk Uygur made the point, if this guy didn't have a gun, is he going to really –
You call him Cenk, but it's
Cenk. Cenk Uygur. If this guy didn't have a gun, would he have strangled these people, all three of these people? No. Would he have lit them on fire right
there?
Well,
I mean, established that, like, the presence of a gun in any altercation does little other than to dramatically increase the chance that an altercation will turn lethal for one of the involved parties.
Right. I mean, you can't automatically assume somebody is going to use their weapon. Like, I'm an advocate of the Second Amendment. I don't have a gun myself, but I could see myself getting a gun because I like to shoot. I'm a good shot. All this, you know, all the right reasons to own a gun.
My biggest problem with the people who are against the Second Amendment is you're unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, you're just not going to get everybody to give up guns. It's not going to happen.
It won't happen in America. What's interesting is that it did happen in Australia, where mm-hmm. guns were all over the place. Then there was like some heavy shit happened, and they're like, you know what? Enough is enough. And people went along with it, and it's been, I think, over a decade now.
But look what happened in countries where – in other countries where it was banned. Look at the AK-47.
I bet you any money Gripper
gun was made because guns were banned.
Yeah.
Because assault rifles were banned in that country. People made that outside of the government, you know?
I bet you any money Gripper probably doesn't know anybody that owns a gun. Like friends, family, you know, people that
do know plenty of people who own guns.
You know why? Because you live in the U.S.
Because I live in Ohio.
You live in the United States, break.
I think Eric can agree with me. Ohio probably one of the most heavily gun states around.
Well, that's one of the things. Like America, we fetishize violence. And
you can buy – guess what? In my local grocery store, you can buy hunting shit in the back.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says AK-47 proliferated because it's so easy to machine. I mean,
yep, it was easy to make, and it's not a good gun by any any stretch, but it's easy to make.
Speaking of these issue guys, I have a Stinko, and I'm not going to go into a long rant, but I just want to quickly tell you guys that a 74-year-old war veteran was killed by the police because his family asked the police to go check on him. Right?
Oh, I heard about this.
Basically what happened is this guy's family didn't know what was going on with this 74-year-old vet. And they asked the police to check on him, and guess what the police did? They broke into his house, which if somebody breaks into my house and I have a gun, guys, I'm sorry, I'm going to use the gun, right? They broke into his house after it took them like 20 minutes to get there and then an hour to decide that they were going to break into the house, right? I mean, and mind you, this is 10:20 at night. How many old people do you know like to stay up late? Not very many, right? All right. So this guy was sound asleep, right? He gets woken up by the police and he reaches for his gun because he's got a gun, right? And he doesn't know who they are. The police officers didn't announce who they were. And they went into the room and they see him with a gun and they shoot him dead. So you guys ask me why I rail so much on police. This is a very prime example why I can't stand the police in this
I don't country. Remember any of us asking you that.
I believe Eric called me on it. Like, why do we always talk about this type of shit and stuff like that? This is why. Because innocent people like this 74-year-old, this could have been any one of our grandfathers, right? This could have been any listener's grandfather that you know, the family's concerned. They call the police, which is their duty to go out there and check. It's not their duty to go out there and kill, right? But they have this mentality and the training to shoot to kill, and that's what they do, and they did in this case. Instead of, I don't know, maybe calling the guy, maybe announcing that they were going into the house by force, all these things that may have prevented this 74-year-old war veteran of all people getting killed by these fucking atrocious people. So that's why I'm very adamant about the way.
Well, our priorities in this country are incredibly skewed. You know, sex is an awful, naughty, evil thing, but violence, gun violence is sexy. And I mean that. And there's the great paradox. Somehow it's appealing because guns are basically this you know big penis metaphor, and that's supposed to somehow be okay. But you can't actually see a nipple on television.
I know.
Or else, you know, everyone's
as much as. As much as I think that's all complete bullshit and I hate that, at the same time, like I love like G.I. Joe and stuff. I wouldn't have had that as a kid. So like it's like I have fucked up feelings about that.
Look, what we're talking about here is like the way that foreign countries view violence and sex, right?
Oh yeah. Like if you go to France, for instance, it's common to have nudity. Like naked women's breasts are in commercials.
So what?
Because it's not a big deal. It is part of the human fucking body, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm. Gripper,
no, it's a really sexy part.
Gripper
of
says he thinks his nephew has a water pistol. Does that count? And you asked him, Brake, if it was a super soaker. He said yes. It does not count, even a super soaker.
those are badass.
They are badass. They're really cool.
They're still making them, so I'm happy about that.
Look, there's
I own
no
a couple of guns, and but it's like one is actually a fourth generation Colt 45. It's from my great grandfather. It's neat.
Colt 45 and two Zigs. Wait, what are we talking about?
But I mean, the cylinder would need to be replaced, and parts of it would need some serious work to be able to fire again safely. Uh-huh. But it's like it's never been used in my lifetime. Yeah. But I've got a Mossberg 12 gauge that I got that I basically kind of inherited from my father, and I've never fired either one.
You know, right?
I don't have ammo for either.
And I would probably never fire it in a real life situation ever in my life, right? And that's the mentality that cops should have. They should not want to use their gun, right? If I was a cop, I think this is the way that it changes, right? In this country, right? The only way that it can change. One, training. You train cops differently, all right? You don't train them to take zero risk because that's what they do. They anytime that they're in a situation, they don't want any risk. And if you look, it used to be that being a cop was one of the most dangerous jobs in the United States, right? Well, now it's not that way. It's not even close to being one of the worst unsafe jobs in the United States. Not even close. You can look it up. Several studies. But I don't know. You first, the training needs to be different. And, maybe only respond to crimes that are being committed. How about that? You know, don't don't harass people, treat people with respect, all the stuff that they do not do. I watched the Eric Garner video again, and it's so tough to watch, man. This guy's like, I can't breathe. He's telling them, I can't breathe, literally. I think I'm going to buy a shirt that says that. I just hope that I don't get killed wearing it, because you have to worry about that shit, you know? But anyways, let's move on, guys. I don't want to go too far into it. Sweetos of the week. Eric, do you have a Sweeto?
No.
Moria, do you?
I had a pretty good Friday.
Oh, anything you want to talk about?
What's that?
Anything you want to talk about, or?
Well, work went pretty smoothly. It's basically what's kind of funny is my job is incredibly repetitive. I look at these cases, I verify information, and I send it along. There are some that are much more harrowing than others. It's like, and I log in. And I look and I say, I have these cues that I have to check for special cases that are these are things I need to do first and foremost before anything else. Mm. So, and they want us to do ideally 12 cases an hour. It's one every 5 minutes. And then I log on and I look at this. It's 24 cases of these really easy ones that I can just knock out 5 minutes and I can just kind of take my time with. It's it's Christmas morning.
Yeah, sometimes that's cool, man. You just can take it easy. All right.
Yes.
Breakman, any Sweetos?
My Sweeto goes to, Eric and Moria probably hate this because it's going to sports. The retirement of Bud Selig.
That's a good one, man. I can't stand that guy.
I don't hate that. I don't care.
I know. Well, with sports, most sports, the chief executive, the whoever's in charge, like Bud Selig or what's his name that everybody hates in the NFL, whoever's in charge,
Goodell.
They're not supposed to be biased. Bud Selig was always biased, and one of the teams he did not like was my fucking team. So I never fucking liked that asshole.
The Reds.
He's retired and he's gone, and as soon as he left, immediately people started talking about reinstating Pete Rose.
I think it's long overdue.
In Cincinnati, Pete Rose is a hero. I went to the same high school as Pete Rose. We all love him here, so we would like to see him reinstated.
I think he's pretty much loved around the country, Brake. I know he did what he did, but he served his time, man. Get him in there.
He's owned up to it, and I think I think he has served his time. It's been 25 years. That's been a long punishment. When you're going to not punish guys who knowingly cheated, and I'm not going to complain about say Barry Bonds and stuff like that because they weren't punishing them back then. I'm talking about right now, Alex Rodriguez is getting back into the sport.
Yeah,
this guy's
I agree,
doped
dude.
Twice. I mean, he was caught back in the early 2000s, and now when it's illegal and he knows it's illegal, he's done it again. You've blown your second chance to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Rose should be in the Hall, man. No question about it. I think
what
it's going to happen.
I forget, what was it that Pete Rose got in trouble for?
Gambling.
He gambled.
Gambling. Oh, okay. Which betting on games he was in or something
was
like that?
Was a sin because of what happened earlier.
I don't think he bet
he
on
games. He swears that he didn't that he never bet on games that – well, actually, I think he did say that he bet on his team, but he never bet against his team.
Yeah. That's basically what he said. Yeah. And I can see the problem there, especially now in the light of fantasy football and all the money that's in all of that. I can see the dangers of it, right? Don't get me wrong. He definitely deserved to be punished, but – a lifetime ban is not cool, man. But all right, my Sweeto of the week, guys. I'm gonna do this real quick. I hear tell there's gonna be a new Friday the 13th video game, which I'm excited for because there hasn't been. You would think there would be tons of Friday the 13th video games out there, like the movies, but they haven't really had many. So, I mean,
the thing is, Friday the 13th is the property of New Line, and New Line's always been kind of, yeah, about.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand. They could have made a ton of money off of that franchise.
I do think a new Friday the 13th video game is in the works, and yes, I know that
it's probably garbage, but
I don't think
there's about that.
There's a reboot of the series in the works. It's supposed to be out in like 2016.
You're stealing my thunder here.
Reboot everything.
All right, Friday the 13th, video game that's in the works, and I think it may be out this year. I'm pretty sure it's going to be out this year. I don't think it's going to be complete crap. I think it's going to be okay. I'm excited. It's got to be better than that piece of shit NES game that came out, which I had a ton of fun with, but still sucked. It was so hard. I could never beat that game.
I saw it beaten in like 10 minutes.
I know. You can literally beat it in 10 minutes if you know like the shortcuts and stuff. But I've seen those playthroughs. And also, they're going to reboot the franchise. And as much as I can't stand found footage films, I was just talking to Whippix about this earlier today. I think a found footage film for Friday the 13th could work if they do it right. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good reboot.
Is found footage like old footage they discarded?
Yeah, well, it's
found like footage like the
Paranormal Activity. That's the best example. Blair Witch.
Blair Witch was kind of the thing that kicked it off. It wasn't the first found footage movie, but it was the by any means. But it was the thing that popularized it. It was kind of like Wolfenstein versus Doom. Yeah. There were other things before Doom, but Doom was the thing that made it really blow up.
Yeah, I think though Blair Witch can take the mantle of the first full fledged found footage film. I'm pretty sure it can lay that claim. I think so.
I can't remember what it was, but there were a couple of movies that used that trope. They were just kind of obscure, but I mean that relied specifically on like the found footage concept.
Yeah. But they weren't like full fledged movies. They were just kind of
small, like feature length indie flicks that just never had an audience.
I guess I don't know, but anyways, I'm excited for it because I think in that format it could get new life, so to speak. So
yeah. I actually have a question for you, Frank. I mean, are you a fan of the series?
I am, in general. I am.
Okay, two questions then. Which one is your favorite?
The first one where he donned the mask was 3, so I kind of have an affinity for that, but I like 2 a lot. That's
what 2 was really good. It's like 3 is like outside of the mask, I don't think 3 is very good. It's also the one that got the most heavily butchered by the MPAA.
Yeah. If you look at the uncensored portions of it, it's actually a little bit better, but
yeah, but I mean like
I actually
most of that,
haven't seen many of the
most of the uncensored footage of Friday the 13th Part 3 has been lost. I mean it just doesn't exist anymore.
It does exist.
I know that some of it does, but there's a hell of a lot more that does not.
Hmm.
But I've seen
in those parts there's storyboards that exist that show you what happened in certain scenes and stuff, and I think if you put all that together it adds up.
It was so heavily edited.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th Part 7, where it's like a lot of the stuff like this there's it just feels disjointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
My personal favorite of this, like of the classic ones, is probably the final chapter, part 4.
4 is good. 4 is really good too.
It's like the first 4 were the ones where Tom Savini was doing the makeup. So
have you seen the alternate ending to 4?
Maybe.
You got to see it, man.
I've got a lot of like Friday the 13th stuff. What did you think of Jason X?
I liked it.
So did I.
I liked it. I'm one of the few that.
Do you like it because it's so bad? It's so good.
No, yeah, I mean it's silly. I mean, it's silly, but it takes its concept and it treats it with. It's kind of like Galaxy Quest. It's like it straddles this really fine line between parody and homage.
Yeah, liked it. I thought it was unique. It was a good concept. I love the mask in that.
The new design for like Uber Jason was really cool.
Yeah.
And what did you think of the new version that they did that had Derek Mears as
Hated it. Really? Absolutely hated the remake.
You know what? I liked the remake until the last fucking 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh man, I hated that remake.
I was really with it because I'm like, wow, they're taking this seriously. They're making him like a realistic serial killer, and then all of a sudden he's like a super like monster again at the very end.
I couldn't stand it.
Well, the thing is, it's like there were elements of it I liked. Like I liked the. Yeah, you know, it was a different take on Jason. It's like I liked him as like suddenly he's not just this kind of this implacable force of nature. It's like there's a certain savagery to him. It's like, well, that's different. That's not something that's been done in 10, you know, in 10 movies previously.
So yeah. you liked the remake too, right?
I didn't. I mean, I wasn't in love with it, but I didn't dislike it.
Okay. No, for me, I would have really enjoyed it had it had like a different ending. Like the last 5 minutes where he's suddenly like the Jason of like Jason X and shit, where he's like this invincible monster.
I really hated
– they hadn't played him as that the whole movie. They played him as just this really sick, twisted individual, you know?
I really hated their casting decisions on that movie. I thought
– Yeah, I can – they're definitely bad casting decisions. But those people they killed, so it was good, right?
Yeah. I mean, I thought
Derek – Can we have a Jason movie where we had to take all the annoying celebrities and have them get killed?
That would be fine with me too. I'd be okay.
I think they might be doing that in like the Walking Dead series companion that might be coming up. I hope. They really
get Jenny McCarthy on there and get her, you know, get her killed off.
Yeah. Mm. No, but to answer your question, Maury, I did not like the remake. I liked some of the visceralness of it. I thought that was okay. Like, you know, there was a really cool kill scene in the remake where Jason kind of uses his machete to stab somebody right in their head from the top. Yeah. In the water, I thought that was really cool.
Was one thing that kind of bugged me about this, like when after Jason X, they kind of screwed over Kane Hodder.
Yeah, see, Kane Hodder should have been Jason. He's the ultimate.
Yeah, like, I mean, in Freddy versus Jason, it's like, you know, because have you seen that documentary? His name was Jason.
Yep.
Yeah, sure it's like has. There's an interview with Kane Hodder. For those who don't know, Kane Hodder is the guy who played Jason in Friday the 13th, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and Jason X.
He played him in 6, too, didn't
No, he didn't. It was a different guy entirely. I much shorter guy.
Huh. Was it the same guy in the 2 through 6?
No, it was a different guy in every single one.
That's what I thought. It was like until him.
That's why his physical presence changes dramatically in the first 6 movies.
Oh man, Kane Hodder was a beast, man.
Oh yeah, it's like the thing was, it's like, you know, and I remember there wasn't, you know, they didn't. It wasn't Kane Hodder who played him in Freddy vs. Jason either. It was Ken Kersinger, who was like one of. Kane Hodder's backup stuntman on the previous Friday the 13th movies. And, you know, he was looking at it. He you know, Kane Hodder said in an interview that he was watching Freddy vs. Jason looking for something that said like, oh, I see, that's why they didn't use me, because I wouldn't have been good for that scene. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it was just like, but it never happened. I never saw like, you know, there was, you know, I didn't see anything that I'm like, you know, as Jason, that just, you know, that wouldn't have worked for me. You know, I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. You know, and it just kind of struck me as kind of bad because he's developed a, you know, he has a fan base. And yeah. I think, you know, people developed an affinity for his portrayal of Jason.
Mears is a lot taller than Hodder, which is strange because Hodder's fucking huge, man.
Yeah.
He just fills the role so good. And yeah. He has such.
I liked Mears as Jason. Like, just that. There's that. You know. Like, I mean, it's some of that's direction and some of that's acting, but it's just like that brutality and there's like just a ferocity to him.
They got
to
get Kane Hodder back for the new one. Now.
I doubt it'll happen. To be perfectly honest.
Well, if they pay him enough, I guarantee he'd be there.
Well, no, I doubt that they will actually, you know, try to make it happen.
Ah, man, that's a shame because he's. By far the best. I mean, it's not even a question. I think if you poll most horror aficionados, they'll tell you Kane Hodder played that role better than anyone.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the thing that Kane Hodder really brought to the role was that thing where, you know, he would, you know, just a certain physical thing. Since, you know, there was it was all physical presence with that character.
Right.
It was the, you know, when he had to look at, you know, it's like when he had to turn, he would look, turn his head, and look in that direction. And then turn his body, and it was just like this weird, subtle thing that just kind of like gave him this kind of a weird considered sort of feel to the nature of Jason himself.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. My least favorite Jason happened in Freddy vs. Jason, which I still like that movie for what it was, but that was my least favorite. But I digress. We got to wrap up here, guys.
Freddy vs. Jason was the most predictable movie ever made.
It was dumb fun. I mean, and there were a couple moments where I was like, okay, that's actually kind of creepy. Like the bit in the hospital with all the kids with their, you know, like their eyes covered up, or the thing like with the guys seeing his brother, played by Zach Ward, which was kind of cool.
I just hate that they killed the hottest girl really early on.
Real quickly, guys, it's Friday the 13th. We're not going to do Would You Rather this week, but what I will ask you, I don't believe in superstitions, but we all have our favorite superstitions. What is your favorite superstition? I'll start with you, Eric. Do you have a superstition that obviously you don't believe in it, but which ones have you heard that you fancy? I'll start with you, Eric.
I've never really got into that whole thing.
What about you, Moria?
I'm trying to think. It's like I don't really find any. I don't really find superstitions all that charming.
Most of them kind of annoy me.
I think this is the worst question you've ever asked us, Frank.
It's Friday the 13th, man.
I understand.
I'm a skeptic by nature, so why would I even like superstitions?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying you like them. I'm saying that there's a certain like make you laugh quality.
With that qualification,
anything involving Magic the Gathering, maybe.
Now, I would say that like if you're talking about just stuff that strikes me as like just most bizarre superstition,
yes,
is the thing about about spilling salt and throwing a pinch of it over your shoulder. What the fuck?
Vampires. That works for vampires, man. I've talked
and
about
witches,
that
apparently, right?
What about you, Brake? Any superstitions that?
Well, if we're talking about vampires, I don't understand like the ones that
silver.
Are hurt by water.
Yeah.
Like, how are they supposed to ever get clean?
Yeah. Running water was the thing. If you start dissecting the physicality of undeath, it the entire concept falls apart very quickly.
Of course.
Wouldn't they reek to high hell even worse than zombies?
They wouldn't sweat, but their flesh doesn't decay was the thing.
They're eating people, so they're going to have like blood everywhere.
Like some kind of cleanse.
You know what my favorite superstition is the black cat one. If a black cat goes in front of you, it's somehow supposed
to
signify.
You know what? I've got black cats, so I agree.
I hate that superstition specifically.
I love
because
it
causes it causes a lot of cruelty to animals.
It's true. I don't like to listen to that shit. But I like the superstition itself. I think it just shows you how afraid people could be of.
Oh, that reminds. Speaking of that, though, have you seen those things? The real superstition memes.
No.
Facebook and stuff. It's like basically it's talking about like, you know, if this happens, it probably means this. Or it's like there's one thing like, if it's Friday the 13th, that means the month started on a Sunday. Stuff like that. I'm like, okay, if a black cat crosses your path, you should pet it.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that.
I know, man. But that's just to me that I love that superstition because it always reminds me of Halloween and stuff. But.
As an owner of multiple black cats, I like that.
You're a cat lady, Breakman. Breakman.
That's true. I have four cats and three of them are black. So you know,
why they got to be black? All right, Break.
Never mind.
All right. We're going to do our plugs. Breakman, plugs, please.
Oh, right after that, you go to me, you son of a bitch.
Damn right.
You can follow at break_man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Follow at stealth__, because he likes to do a show every other week or something like that. I don't know. Once a month. I don't know.
He's our absentee host.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have been here more last week if he hadn't have audio issues, but I think we were all having audio issues last week.
Yeah. All right.
Which, you know what? I'd say Skype's been a lot better now than when it was before we started the show.
I think you have to have really good internet for shit to work right. I've come to the conclusion that all these companies can't be bad, you know. So.
Oh, and I would like to. There's a couple beers that I was drank one last week, and I drank one this week. Mm-hmm. The one last week I really enjoyed was the Mad Tree Thunder Snow beer, mm-hmm. which we talked about before, and we made fun of Thunder Snow.
Yeah, beer of omens. Yeah,
it's really a hoppy beer, but it tastes like. There's this winter feeling to it. There's some vanilla taste to it, and it just feels really good for winter. Today I've been drinking this Rivertown Brewing Company, which I believe is in Cleveland. I've been drinking their winter ale, which is completely different from that beer, which is actually also tasty. I prefer the Thunder Snow, but this one has molasses and cinnamon in it, and it feels like kind of thicker than the other one.
Welcome to
taste to it. The cinnamon and molasses.
Yeah.
I like them.
Welcome to Breakman's Review of Beer.
I was going to say, welcome to Hop Grinders.
Anything else, Break?
That's it.
All right. Eric.
Eric. What?
Plugs. What?
Your plug.
I was talking. Sir. He zoned out.
I can't. Yeah. That noise is just hypnotic.
Yeah. What, the sound of Break talking?
No,
Go ahead.
TotalGN.com and GameTactics.com and HonestGamers.com. And then there's also Vogue.com. I've written for all those places, and you should check those sites out anyways for other people's stuff.
Yep.
Also BostonBrassBrigade.com. Then there's my YouTube channel. Hopefully sometime next week I can actually get started on that Jesus game.
What's the YouTube channel, Eric?
Funny T-Man.
All right. Anything
else? There's my Twitter account at EricRPG.
Okay. All right.
I do have a blog I am working on, but, until I'm actually ready to talk about it, I won't say anymore.
All right.
I need to find the time to actually devote to it first.
Moria.
You can follow me on Twitter. It's at MoriaMug, MoriaMug.
All right. Is that it?
That's it for me.
All right. Mine are going to be WickedRadioNetwork.com. Check out all the wonderful shows that we have on there. Honestly, it's cool stuff. If you're listening to this show and you want something different, let's say you want some of the horror talk that we had on this show, but more in depth, go on there. There's a whole section, whatever you want, horror, comedy, pop culture, trivia. There's all kinds of different things that you can get on there. WickedRadioNetwork.com. And make sure to check out Whippix and my a new podcast, Just Roll With It. And that's just us just bullshitting about anything. So it's
roll with it, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wow. I thought I was the only one who was thinking of that.
And I think that's
roll
it.
Roll with it, baby.
Yeah, geez.
I am so glad I'm not the only one who was thinking of that.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Steve Winwood.
Anyways, you guys stay safe this Valentine's Day weekend. We did not talk about that because Valentine's Day sucks. Stay safe. We want to see you here back this week.
You might be able to buy chocolate easily, though.
Yeah, that's true. Chocolate. Especially the day after, man.
The day after is best.
All right, stay safe. We want to see you back here next week. Until then.